Welcome, everyone, to the season finale episode of Check the Net, Impact 89 FM's College Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Kellen Pearson. I'm here with my co-host, Kylie Tabler.
Hello. I'm back. I'm back.
She's back. She's not a ghost. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really weird that we're at the end of the season. We're at the end of the school year.
We're getting like, 1 year older.
This is our last episode for this school year.
1 year closer to graduation, Colin. Can you believe it?
It's so weird. Don't make me think about that. You know what else is weird, though? We are at the 1 year anniversary of Check the Net.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sentimental.
Wild and crazy and amazing. It's great. It's awesome. So this episode, we wanted to talk about the tournament. We want to recap that. We want to talk a little bit about some of the players that are going to do big things in the NBA, WNBA. We want to talk about some of the coaching changes, just any of the big news that's going on right at this end of the season mark. And then next fall, we're going to come right back in. We're going to go ahead and talk about, you know, conference realignment, which is going to be insane.
Got me barfing over
gonna
here.
Going to be insane, though. I mean, think about like Arizona and the Big 12.
The Big 12
just think about that
crazy.
For a second. Think about Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC.
About to go absolutely brazy.
Think about UCLA women's in the Big Ten.
I don't want to think about any conference realignment in the Big Ten because I'm still not happy about it. I will never be happy about it. And
I'm a little excited.
And I've also, you know, we got to keep in mind the potential of adding Clemson and FSU to the Big Ten. And
that may be a conversation this fall as well. Who
that
knows?
Makes me barf.
Who knows? But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about coaching changes in the fall. We'll talk about transfer portal. We'll talk about the big recruits.
And there's going to be a lot of stuff happening, you know, this summer. We'll be collecting info.
This summer is going to be a crazy time. We might do an episode. We'll see. Probably not.
I feel like it'd be fun if we can all coordinate our schedules and all get up here.
So no promises, but you guys might have
a special episode.
A notification on your Spotify or Apple Music that, hey, a new Check the Net podcast episode dropped all of a sudden.
Randomly sprouts at some point in July. Who knows?
Who really knows, folks? Anyways, shall we just get right into it? Talk about the women's basketball tournament?
Yes, because
Kylie, I know you're excited to
talk
about
this. I'm so excited because 100%, like, fully, this tournament so much better than the men's tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's even close. I know I definitely said this exact same thing last year, but it's just factually true. Like, this one was so much more interesting. I've seen so much stuff. I think Cameron Brink came out and was talking about how people have been saying, I can name five women's basketball players. I can name five men's college basketball players. And I'm like,
and it's so true.
It's so true. Like, we could because we go to a Big Ten school. We, like, go to basketball game all the time. I could name Michigan State's entire roster.
Yeah.
But that's because we go here.
Yes.
But like, exactly. If I was just some random person, I don't think I could name five. I could name a couple, probably, like your big names. But like, for women's basketball, there's so many prominent players this year. So it's made it even more enjoyable to watch them all go decently and relatively far in the tournament, because they all did, with like the exception of a few upsets kind of early on. But I mean, it's just been so much fun to watch this tournament.
Yeah, the women's tournament had big names compared to the men's tournament, who had Zach Edey.
Womp, you know, womp.
you talk about the big names on the men's versus women's side. Women's had so many big names, and we're going to talk about a lot of them, you know. But, like, truly a fun tournament. Not a whole lot of upsets on either side this year.
No.
Which was really interesting, even when you got towards the finals. But it was just a lot of fun. The women's tournament had some of the best basketball games I've ever watched.
Oh my gosh, yes.
We'll talk about it a little bit later, but also some of the most watched women's basketball games ever.
Yes.
Which was really cool. And let's get right into it with the biggest upsets and best games. Kylie, you had a few written down.
Yeah, I have a couple of the big upsets. The main one that I do want to talk about is Middle Tennessee versus Louisville. I did call that one on my bracket. I don't know if I mentioned it on the
live
stream.
That you did.
I called it. I was like, listen, Louisville, they had a decent, like a fairly good record. Like, I'm not going to take that away, but just watching them play, like, I knew, like, just by, I don't know if it's intuition or just like, I don't know, maybe I'm just so smart, that I was like, there's no way they're making it out of the first round of the tournament. I just didn't see that team like having it in them. They can, this year they were consistently losing to good competition. So mm-hmm. I was like, and when you get to the tournament, you have to be on like at your best. And I don't think their best was going to be good enough to make it out of the first round. So yeah.
That's really true. But mm-hmm. they did take down a very impressive Louisville team.
Yes, they
and
did.
So that's important
to
note.
Props to Middle
for
Tennessee
sure.
for sure. I mean, they had a really hard fight and they pulled it out, which was super exciting. The other one I want to talk about that I was really upset about because it absolutely demolished my bracket was Ohio State losing to Duke legitimately in the second round. And I was like,
That was awesome.
It was great. It was a good upset. Like, I'm not gonna.
It was a good game, you know. But
great upset.
I totally understand how you'd be just like a little bit surprised by it, you know.
Just because Ohio State has a lot of talent on their team, and then it was just like, nah, man. And I was like, okay, well, there goes my bracket. I had him in the finals, and I was like, ooh. My friend had him winning in two different brackets.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, just so you know, they got, you know, demolished early.
Yeah.
So not fun. JC Sheldon, you will be missed. Good luck in the WNBA.
And then Duke had a really tough draw that next round, but they really mm-hmm. kind of held UConn pretty well too. It was a surprise for me at least mm-hmm. That they held them 53-45 for a team like UConn, who is offensively one of the best teams in the country, mm-hmm. to only score 53 points is impressive defense.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so kudos to Duke on that one.
Yeah. Anything for you, Colin?
I'll be honest, those were kind of the ones I had picked out as well. Mm-hmm. I'd say if I had one more, it's probably LSU over UCLA.
Yeah, that one shocked me.
That one
big
shocked
time.
Me just a little bit. UCLA didn't impress me as much as LSU did throughout the year. Mm-hmm. LSU just had a much tougher record and seemed to be playing better against the top teams. Mm-hmm. But LSU also showed a lot of weakness against some of the lower teams.
Right.
So I was a little bit worried about them, them beating UCLA, and then they did and went up against Iowa in
a rematch.
One of the best games of the tournament, truly.
Yeah, watching the UCLA-LSU game, it was so interesting. I think I'm so quick to call out refereeing. There was it was very foul heavy on UCLA. Their guards got into foul trouble early, but I was just, I don't know. I think it could have been closer if the disparity was a little more even for fouls, but I mean, that is what it is. You know, can't go back and change anything now, but it was still a really great game to watch. Came literally down to the wire. Like,
yep.
It was so much fun. I could have gone either way in any scenario, but I think the key was their UCLA's starting few guards fouling out in the fourth quarter.
Oh, definitely. So. You know, you can't foul out that early. Mm-hmm. And the refs were calling a lot, don't get me wrong, but they were calling pretty evenly. You know, across the board, they were calling both sides a lot, in my opinion, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the big picture with that was that foul at the end of the game, the offensive foul.
Yeah.
The moving pick that was called with about 3 seconds left.
That was, for UConn?
For UConn, sorry, yes.
That was interesting. I agree with the call. Not because I'm a UConn hater, not because I, you know, am an Iowa lover. Watching it back, the way that Aaliyah Edwards, she moved into it. She moved her shoulders. It was not lower body whatsoever.
It was a foul.
It was upper body moving into it in like crunch time like that. And I know she's very experienced. She's a senior. Like, in crunch time, you have to go back to your fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she would have stayed set, they probably would have ended up scoring on that play. I mean, just true, like, genuinely.
And if you're the ref, you know, it's a bad situation, whether you call it or you don't. You know, so you have to call it. You have to make that call. Because mm-hmm. If you don't, everyone's going to look back on that and be like, even if UConn, you know, especially if UConn made that basket,
mm-hmm.
everyone's looking back on that and going, UConn shouldn't have won.
Right.
And so you know.
Yeah, that, you just, you know. And that to me, that was not tough. that was not a game-deciding call.
No, because UConn had a chance at a rebound off of missed free throw even. Like, UConn had another chance and still did not get it.
Yeah.
And so...
because I know that was a huge, like, controversial thing. A lot of people are upset about it. Stuff like that. If you're calling that way the entire game, you have to stick with it. You can't just start letting it go when it's, like, down to the wire and, like,
yes,
a close game.
Exactly.
Like that. Or else you're never going to be able to referee at a high level again, because people are going to see that and be like, yeah, no.
Exactly. So, and it is interesting. More people were talking about that on Monday than about the actual national, than about the men's national championship that night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, way more people were talking about the, or even, yeah, on Monday, that Final Four game that happened on Friday. You know?
Yeah.
It just really interesting to me how the media kind of took over with that as well and kind of made it controversial almost.
Right.
But that's psychology, and I'm not, I'm an engineer.
Like, we don't study that. So it's like, I don't know. I just know what I think, and I think it was a fair call. So hate me if you want, but I'm sticking by it.
Yeah. Kylie, let's talk some teams that kind of overperformed in this bracket. Teams that performed a lot better than you thought they would. Mm-hmm. Kylie, I know you've got one written down.
I have one in mind as well, but I'll
yeah,
talk
go for it.
Do you want to speak on the one I have written down?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Go for it.
I had
a different one, so.
Oh, okay. I have UConn. So I just didn't think that they were going to make it past some of the people that they played, genuinely. I knew they were going to make it a few rounds. Like, don't get me wrong. But I just didn't think that they were going to make it past... was it USC that they played? Yeah. Wait.
Yes. Wait. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just didn't think they were going to make it past USC, genuinely. And so, yeah, in my eyes, they overperformed, which I guess I should never doubt Gino Auriemma in crunch time in March.
Real.
So that's my own fault on that one. But I definitely just didn't think they're going to make it out of their side of the bracket and into the Final Four. I knew they were probably going to do well. But also, it just always worries me with, like, the amount of injuries that team has sustained over the entire year, losing. And they have such a short bench. So
they
I genuinely thought
bench.
That their short bench was going to get them into trouble. Because if they were going to get into foul
And it
trouble,
did in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
But
it did in, there was another game. I forget what game it was.
It did against Duke as well.
Yes. Was it with KK Arnold?
Yes.
Arnold had like 3 or 4 fouls in the first half. And it's like, okay, well, now you only have one or two other options on the bench to be able to like put them in, but they couldn't take her out. So, I mean, they just ran into so many issues in that regard. So that made me worried about their longevity, but they proved me wrong. And I'm happy they did, because I do like watching them play. They're a very fun, fundamental team to watch.
Yeah,
so
they're going to be a really interesting one next year.
They're losing a decent amount of people.
They are, but it's UConn. They recruit like insane.
Oh, yeah.
And Paige Becker is sticking around.
Huge help for them.
Huge.
That's your leader coming back.
I did
back
not
again.
Expect that. I'll be completely honest.
I'm happy she deserves more years of college basketball because of the injury she sustained that took her out of it. She's such a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
She's such an efficient player. Like, she's not this, like, she scores, don't get me wrong, but she's not this big scorer all the time. She's efficient on defense, the boards, assists, and like, she's just so impactful and fun to watch.
Across the court, no matter where she's at, she's...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say my team, I had Oregon State written down.
Okay.
Not written down, but just in my head.
Not the one I had in my
not
head.
Not at all the one
off.
You had in
yeah.
your head. I have a feeling
You probably know. You probably
NC
know.
State?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon State really surprised me, particularly with their wins against Nebraska and Notre Dame.
Yes, Notre Dame especially.
Notre Dame especially, but even Nebraska. Like,
I thought Nebraska
was a little bit worried.
Further than what they did.
Oregon State's a 3 seed, you know, but they just... they played such a tough season against Pac-12 teams. I wasn't really sure. They seemed to get a lot of their seeding from their strength of schedule rather than from, you know, bigger out-of-conference wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little skeptical, and they proved me wrong. They proved me wrong all day of the week, you know. They went up and put 10 points or not put 10 points, beat Nebraska by 10 points, then proceeded to beat Notre Dame by 5 in what ended up being a really great game. Mm-hmm. And then they competed well against South Carolina, which is crazy in
impressive.
The Elite Eight.
Yes.
They lost to South Carolina, which really, what a game anyways, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's just a team that I didn't expect going as far as they did. They don't have like a ton of like crazy big names on their team. They don't have Mm-mm. the hype. But they were good. They were fun to watch.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's definitely going to hurt them next year with conference realignment.
Well,
being in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
With only Gonzaga as their strength of schedule.
Well, they're big. I think her name's Reagan Beers is entered the transfer portal.
Yes.
So that's going to hurt them. She's a tough player. I think that'll hurt them a little bit for sure.
Yeah, but she has.
Yeah, so yep. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, Colin, I also was thinking about NC State. I just didn't think they were going to get over beating Stanford. And they did. So
they did.
Good for them.
really impressive.
Yes.
Especially, and we'll talk about this in a second, but ending a very, very long and outstanding career by a certain head coach of Stanford.
Gonna get me all sad up in here.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, but I was just really, they were very impressive in the tournament. I knew they were going to be a tough team, but I just didn't think they were going to make it as far as what they did. So, yeah, they were fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Biggest impact players.
Yes.
I know we've talked about a few of these. Caitlin Clark is obviously.
Come on.
It's hard not to mention her.
It's tough.
The Caitlin Clark effect is known around the country.
Yes. I will say her performance in that national championship game was very interesting. She looked great in the first quarter, and then after that, I feel like she was a non-factor.
She wasn't a non-factor, but she definitely didn't score as much.
Yeah, but then, I mean, at the same time, though, Iowa wasn't really scoring that much either. Like
that's
in general.
True. That's true.
So I think she just, yeah, became much more of a non-factor than what she had been previously.
See, I just look at the Final Four game where she wasn't even the top scorer on Iowa.
No, her assists are what went crazy.
Yeah, her assists went crazy. But I stuck Hannah Stolke in there, who was the top scorer that day for Iowa, because she was shooting like crazy all tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a great backup that, I'll be honest, wasn't completely on my radar. There were a few Iowa players I expected to be the backup, and Hannah Stolke was not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah Stolke is a freshman, I believe.
Sophomore? Yeah.
So she's got a few more years.
Mm-hmm.
But she was fun to watch and very impressive player. Definitely adding to the WNBA stock there.
Yeah, she will only get better.
Like, yes.
She will only get better from here.
No question. Even without Caitlin Clark, I think she may be the next leader of that Iowa team.
She probably will. I mean, they're losing almost their entire team.
They are.
So, I mean, this is like the time where, you know, she's going to be able to step into a leadership role and rally and take these girls and say, listen, like, we've got a reputation to uphold, and quote Abby Lee Miller, and it's time to go out and still rock it in the Big Ten. Because Big Ten is such a tough conference for basketball.
And
in
it's
my,
only
in
getting
my
tougher.
Opinion. And it's only getting tougher. Adding
you
in UCLA, USC.
Oregon.
Oregon's entire team's in the transfer portal right now.
Oh, never mind.
Their entire team is gone. And the only reason why I know this is because...
They were okay.
The only reason why I know that is because one of the girls I used to play against was at Oregon, and now she's in the transfer portal. So a lot of people funneled in. So that'll be interesting. But adding in just literally UCLA and USC makes the Big Ten like 20 times more difficult.
Yeah, those are like...
Those are two of the top 10 teams in college basketball in general.
Just... At all college basketball, men's or women's, UCLA mm-hmm. was a 2 seed, USC was a 1 seed.
Like, I mean, come on. You're adding two big teams into the Big Ten. So, yeah.
The only other team in the Big Ten who was at that level this year was Ohio State.
Yes.
And Iowa, but Iowa's losing most of their people is what we were talking about.
Yes. So, yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see how some teams... recoup in this off season, kind of rebuild and
definitely
go from there.
Yeah.
Anyone? Who else you got?
Yeah, I got Camila Cardoza from South Carolina.
She was
obviously a big player all tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Huge scorer. I've got Paige Beckers. Hard not to talk about her either. Especially coming back from those injuries that she had last year, the year before that. Mm-hmm. She has really proven herself to be yet again one of the best in the country.
Yes.
And I think that one more year that she's choosing to take in college is going to be a huge help.
She'll be a number one overall.
Yeah. It's hard to argue that unless something crazy happens.
Which I don't know if it will.
let's hope not. But
yeah. She's just so good. She's just so good.
She is one of those players that sets the momentum for the entire game. Not just her team, but the other team as well.
Yeah.
If the other team can't compete with that, which most of the time they can't,
mm-hmm.
UConn takes over because of Paige Beckers.
Oh yeah. 100%.
You know, Iowa could compete with that. That was...
Yes, yes.
But even then, it was a two-point game.
Right. It wasn't this blowout or...
Yeah.
So...
Came down to some fouls at the end and some mm-hmm. free throws, you know. It didn't come down to, you know...
And I think free throws is the reason that UConn lost. They missed so many free throws.
They did. And that's foundational, but that's mm-hmm. also an easy fix.
Right. Here's the thing, though, is that I don't know if free throws are an easy fix, because I think it comes down to, your headspace a lot of the time. Like, you can practice them as many times as you want, but when you're in that crunch time, in that headspace, in those close games, it's you. Like, you have got to take it upon yourself.
But now you've been in that headspace. You've been in those close games. And that's where you see improvement is, and that's why you see some of these teams, you know, repeating their big runs,
mm-hmm.
it's because they've been there before.
Yeah.
You know, it's harder for a brand new team or a young team to make a long run because they don't know the pressure of being on that stage
mm-hmm.
until they get there.
Which, I mean, you watch an entirely young South Carolina team completely make
okay,
it there.
Okay, so maybe that theory doesn't prove true for all teams, okay? But in general,
you
know, that is a pattern we tend to see.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Kentucky on the men's side.
We'll talk about them later, but
yeah, that's for a little bit later down the line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So those are some big impact players. Kylie, you got any more?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm gonna pronounce her name wrong, and I'm so sorry. Is it Azia? Azia?
I don't know.
Okay. Azia James from NC State. I'm so sorry if I pronounce it wrong. I'm so sorry. Ballin. She balled so good in the tournament. She essentially led them to a Final Four.
Yeah, she's the reason they were in the Final
Four. Yes. Looked so good throughout the tournament. I mean, she was their biggest impact player. And then I'm going to take a look at some... I keep smacking my face on the mic. That's my own fault, though. And then I am going to take a look at some impact freshmen for South Carolina.
Ooh, okay.
Look at Malaysia Fulwiley. She has been an impact player throughout the entire season. She's so fast, so athletic. Like, she increases the pace of the game, insane. She was so fun to watch, watching her be aggressive, watching her shoot. I mean, it was great. However, I was even more impressed with Tessa Johnson, especially in that national championship game.
Definitely.
Just shooting with so much confidence. And as a freshman, that is so impressive.
That takes
she
a lot.
Looked
yeah.
so good in those last few games. You can tell she really gained momentum and felt more comfortable on the court. And I think that she was a huge part of the reason why South Carolina won that game.
Absolutely.
So kind of calling, you know, giving props to them. They did a really great job. I mean, their entire team did an amazing job. I mean, Raven Johnson, Bree Hall, having to guard Caitlin Clark is not easy. And
not
they
at
did
all.
An amazing job of guarding her. I mean, I could not have asked, if I was Dawn Staley, there's nothing more I could have asked from those girls when guarding the best scorer in the country, to be fair.
In women's basketball history.
you can't ask any more from them, and they did absolutely amazing. What's super duper fun about this South Carolina team is they have two seniors that are leaving, Tia Nina Pow Pow's coming back for another year.
That's impressive.
She's a senior, so she's coming back. But I believe that they are retaining the rest of their team. I don't know if Sakima Walker has announced if she's coming back yet or not.
Kylie,
but as of right now, the only one
are you claiming we're going back-to-backs with South Carolina here?
I think there's a good chance.
Oh, gosh.
All I know is Camila Cardoza is going to the WNBA draft. She will easily a top five pick, potentially probably a top three pick after this national championship.
Yeah.
So yes.
I'd say she's probably three or four.
Yeah, she's been bouncing between three and four. So.
It just depends on what team ends up with that pick and what they need out of a player.
So I cannot wait already for next basketball season.
It's going to be going to be awesome.
Yes. So,
let's talk best stories from the tournament.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go first if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it.
I want to talk about some of the viewership because that is, in my opinion, one of the best stories from this tournament.
Yes, absolutely.
And like, it kind of highlights all of the other stories-ish a little bit.
Yeah.
But Iowa versus LSU, the Elite Eight game, not a Final Four game, you know, the national championship rematch, of course, but an Elite Eight game was, at the time, the most watched college basketball, women's college basketball game ever, with an average of 12.3 million viewers, which is more than every single NBA game last year, except for Game 5 of the Finals.
That's so funny.
Every single regular season college football game, except for Ohio State versus Michigan.
Hey, man. Props to We Love a Good Rivalry here in the Midwest.
Look, Iowa-LSU was a phenomenal game.
Mm-hmm.
Truly enhanced the sport, beating records. That record was topped in the Final Four, but I want to talk about the championship, which compared to the 12.3 million viewers for Iowa-LSU, the national championship game between Iowa and South Carolina topped 18.9 million viewers,
mm-hmm.
peaked at 24.1 million viewers for the final 15 minutes.
Yes.
And it was the second most watched non-Olympic women's sporting event in history, mm-hmm. trailing only the 2015 Women's World Cup final between the U.S. and Japan.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So cool to see
that. It's great. I mean, women's college basketball is finally getting the recognition it deserves. I mean, but you've got some insane players coming out the woodwork. Jeez, coming out the woodwork.
Slipping up on your words there,
yeah,
Kylie. You good?
It's been a long day. But some phenomenal players coming into the college scene and really making a strong impact. And there's a lot of people that are now realizing that. And
definitely.
I mean, you can give props to so many different players that, especially this WNBA draft class has got to be one of, if not the most influential group of women in college basketball ever. So big props to them for bringing more recognition to the game. And I just really hope that the recognition stays. I think it will. And I hope that it carries over to the WNBA as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely got to hope for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The one question I have with that, and I didn't write this down, you know, but I want to note that Caitlin Clark was offered $5 million to join Ice Cube's 3v3 league with a bunch of top NBA players. It's called the Big Three. And it would not affect her ability to play in the WNBA. So she'd be able to do both.
Yeah.
But it would definitely take away from the WNBA's viewership because Caitlin Clark is now competing against the top men's players in the NBA in a 3v3 tournament somewhere in the middle of the summer.
Randomly at some point. Yeah.
And she would offer $5 million to do that compared to what her rookie salary would be in the WNBA of like 700,000.
Yeah.
Not even.
Not. Yeah. That's pushing it. Yeah.
So the question is whether she'd do it.
I don't know.
Personal opinion, I don't see why not.
Right.
You know, worst case scenario, you don't play your best because you're playing against the top NBA players and you're brand new to the WNBA.
Right.
Best case scenario, you go and smoke a bunch of NBA players.
Yeah.
And the Pistons draft you next year.
Real? No, so true. Here's the thing. I think the thing with that is she is going to be under such a close eye if she does that tournament.
There's a lot of pressure with that.
There are so many haters out there who want to talk about how random people who, I played 1 year of JV high school basketball and I could be Caitlin Clark. Like, that's what I think would be the biggest thing with her maybe steering away from that and wanting to bring the viewership to the WNBA.
And I can see that for sure.
And I will respect her decision no matter what she decides to do. Good props to her and props to a lot of these women's basketball players, because I don't know if I could handle hearing comments like that all the time and then just, you know, everyone's completely discounting my talent constantly.
Yeah,
so,
I think there's definitely been less discounting after this tournament than after, you know, last year's tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely a little bit less discounting, but still lots of it.
Lots of it. And yeah, and I don't know if that's ever going to stop. I hope it stops at some point and people recognize just how extremely talented women's basketball players are, because they are so talented. It is an entirely different game than men's basketball. In my opinion, it's more fundamental. In my opinion, it's more aggressive.
Especially now. It used to be on the men's side, but it's not.
It's
transitioned out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
fundamental, aggressive, and based upon this tournament, exciting.
Fast-paced.
Yes.
You know, high scoring sometimes.
Yeah.
High energy, you know.
Yeah. So,
it's not just you're tall.
Right. Oh.
Sorry, that hit a nerve with Kylie.
Oh,
the look on her face just changed.
That's so real.
Kylie, that's not allowed to be your full court press.
It's gonna be. Sorry.
I know it is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So my story, I was gonna talk about a couple of things, but I think I'm just gonna talk about how there were so many great storylines in this tournament and how I wished all of them could have worked out. And in the end, not all of them could work out, because when it came to the end, it was either you got that perfect season or
You can't repeat. Iowa can't win.
Caitlin Clark can't win a national championship, or South Carolina can't
complete that perfect season. Paige Beckers can't
win a national championship. UConn can't tack another championship on. If all of them could have happened simultaneously, I would have been so happy. But they can't. So I'm going to talk
about...
It's too
bad it's a single elimination tournament, man. Make it double... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to address how happy I was about the South Carolina perfect season, completing their perfect season. It just shows how great of a coach Dawn Staley is.
Mm-hmm.
And how much she cares about her players. It's very evident listening to her speak, how much she cares about her players, how she lets them be themselves, but how she'll hold them accountable for the culture that they've built at South Carolina, and she will never budge on the culture, which, as you can see, has been producing so many success stories. And her coming in, losing 5 starters, I think she lost one of her first men off the bench as well, all to the WNBA. I loved that starting 5. I loved watching them play.
They were incredibly impressive.
Yes, they were so good. And losing all of them and having to completely bounce back with an entirely new group of people as your starters, it's so impressive being able to coach that. And being able to coach a perfect season, nonetheless, is even more impressive. She is 109-3 in the past 3 years of basketball.
That is absurd.
Yes. She's that girl. Genuinely. And I would give literally anything to be coached by her for one day, at least. Even 1 hour, I would do anything. So big props to her, and it's super exciting to complete that storyline. I hope they go back to back. That's all I can say. I hope they go back to back. I hope they're able to do it again next year.
It would be crazy. Mm-hmm. But spotlight's on them now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had a scare right at the end of the regular season.
Where their conference tournament.
During conference tournament, they had to rely on
Camila Cardoza.
Three-point shooting Camila Cardoza for
a final shot.
A buzzer-beater three-pointer, which she made.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
But holy cow, was it close, man.
Oh, it was so close.
It quite literally came down to a buzzer-beater to keep that perfect season alive.
Mm-hmm. And they did it.
Mm-hmm. I also want to quick mention Tara Vanderveer, Stanford's coach, who is retiring.
Amazing
she
career.
Is now the winningest coach in college basketball history, men's or women's.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. Very impressive.
Just you know, an all-time great. Like, really.
Impossible to replace for Stanford.
Oh, yeah. has done really great things.
Yeah.
There, many championships.
I mean, can't say I'm surprised.
No, I get it.
Because especially with the move to the ACC, mm-hmm. you know, that just changes, it changes everything. And that's hard to adjust to. And when you've been coaching for as long as Tara Vanderveer has,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, there's a time. And
yeah.
that time
is now,
I suppose. Yeah. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm. I hope she enjoys her retirement. She earned it. She earned it.
She will probably be back for broadcasting the tournament next year. How much you want to bet?
Sure. I would love to listen to her. Are you kidding? So yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting.
So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch to the men's side because we have kind of rambled a little bit about the women's.
Because it's so exciting and
the
men's was
boring. Because the women's had stuff to talk about and the men's really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably going to spend like half the amount of time on the men's side because there's just not as much to talk about. It was a boring tournament. You know, there weren't a whole lot of close games. The ones that there were didn't matter to the final,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the final seemed set from the beginning. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and I hate it.
I mean,
I'm telling you right now, I knew that champion was going to win.
Yeah,
anyone
I know you knew UConn was going to win.
Yeah.
I manifested them not, and it didn't work.
It backfired on you.
It absolutely backfired on me. My bracket was terrible.
Mine was too. Just a second. I beat Colin in brackets again.
Not by much.
But I did. My bracket was trash.
You only beat me because UConn won. If Purdue had won, you would not have beat me.
Correct. But I beat you. So
I would just like to comment that means my first, second, third rounds were all better.
Oh, yeah, no.
It just happened to come down to my Final Four did not end up.
Oh, mine didn't either.
Out.
I had one Final Four team left.
I know you did.
And they won.
That won it for you. Congratulations.
Yes. Well, because my half of my Final Four lost in the same night. And I was like, I'm done.
Oh,
like,
gosh,
it's because it's when. So we just preface, we went to the Sweet 16 in Detroit.
We did.
All
amazing.
Three of us, actually. Derek's not here, but he was there as well. And then we went with a couple of our friends. And
Eli from our live broadcast was there.
Yep. And one of our other friends, Oliver Slay, we went, and I had to watch Creighton lose.
Yep.
So upset. I was so upset.
Go Vols.
And then they lost.
Go Vols. they won the game I was at. All I'm going to say, maybe I'm their good luck charm.
Maybe. But I had to watch them lose. And then at the very same time, Houston lost. that was two of my Final Four teams just gone.
Really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough.
It was a tough one. Yeah.
Yep.
But
Iowa State also lost.
Didn't they lose it? Was it the it was the day before?
It was the day before,
yeah.
I had nothing left to cheer for at that point in my bracket. I was having fun rooting for Tennessee.
Yeah, we all picked teams to root for by the magical spinning wheel. I ended up getting Creighton because manifesting was on my side, I guess.
Yes.
So I was so happy.
I got Tennessee, which I'm perfectly happy about.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been happy with Gonzaga too, but it's okay. Tennessee won, so now I have some.
Neither one of us got Purdue, and that's all I could hope for.
Yeah. do we want to tell the story about the Purdue?
We can tell the
shirt?
Story.
Yeah. So Oliver is who got Purdue, our friend Oliver. And so what we did
none of us
Purdue. Wanted to wear Purdue. None of us were going to buy a Purdue March Madness shirt. None of us wanted that. You know, we just, it's the Big Ten rival. We can't stand them.
No.
So instead, what Oliver did was we picked up a referee jersey and he wore it into the stadium.
And he wore it. Yeah. It was great.
So, you know, support their best player and
call it a day. Before we move on, though, I do have to mention, because I did get a phone call the other day, Brady beat me this year in brackets.
Impressive.
And now I have to talk about how I'm crying and sobbing right now because he beat me and he made me cry. And
she's got tears rolling down her face on the other side of the table.
So
she's very sad.
Brady, shout out. I'm coming for you next year. I will be winning.
Yeah.
Next year we're putting money on it and I'm winning. So
you're putting money on it. Whoa.
I will put my entire paycheck on it.
Dang.
Not a lot.
Can I get in on that?
Are you going to put your paycheck on it?
No.
Okay. Then no.
I'll take your paycheck if I win, though.
No. No. But, so, yeah. We can talk about biggest upsets and best games.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because this is definitely our longest segment here for this one. Biggest upset, hard to not talk about Oakland, Kentucky.
I called it. I called it. The one upset that I picked, one of the upsets I picked the first round, that was the only one that went, and I called it.
Yeah. And it was a good upset.
Oh,
you know?
So great. Kentucky can't play defense.
Kentucky can't play
and
defense.
And Oakland plays great offense.
Yeah, Oakland, Jack Golkey went 10 threes.
Literally
insane. Yeah, hard to beat that one.
You can't. That's the one.
Another one where...
Called that one too, actually.
St. Mary's can't play defense. Mm-hmm. Grand Canyon, one of the best offenses in the country.
I think we all three of us called it.
We called that one in advance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal game. One of the better games of the first round, actually.
I agree.
One of the closer games, you know, super fun to watch. Another one, Yale-Auburn.
Did not call that.
We did call that.
I didn't.
Only Kylie did not. Derek and I both said that this would be a possible one. We brought it up in the podcast last week as ghosts.
Oh, yeah, as ghosts.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I did not call
it. So Kylie did not call it, but no. Derek and I did.
Did you put it on your bracket?
Yes.
Did you really?
Actually, I think I might have changed it.
I think you changed it literally last minute because we talked about it.
That's right. It's on my initial bracket, though, because I did keep that one separate.
Mm-hmm.
It is on my initial bracket. Which did better than my final bracket.
Should have kept that one.
It also had Utah State in the Final Four, though. So
I mean, I had them.
It didn't do much better.
Yeah, I mean.
It did, I think. Actually, I think it did almost exactly the same.
Yeah. At least it did better than your McNeese bracket.
Oh, shush. I don't want to talk about that. Obviously, the biggest upset all tournament was NC State, the 11th seed.
Oh, yes. They
just
get to
continuing
the Final Four.
The insane run that they had.
Mm-hmm. Bonkers that NC State, UConn, both men's and women's teams, were in the Final Four.
Yeah. We only had six schools represented in the entire Final Four.
Insane.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a good one.
Gotta love that.
Wish they would have made to the finals.
Yeah. That's all right.
We all wish.
I have two nominations for best game.
Mm-hmm.
Kylie, you have one.
The only reason why it's best game, it's because that team lost.
Go for it.
So I picked Kansas and Gonzaga because...
Great. It was a great game.
Gonzaga won by 20. And that should have been Samford playing in that game.
It should have been Samford playing in that game.
Because the refs absolutely sold that. Because that block, clean. So clean. I was sitting there... with my Taco Bell and my Baja Blast, and I was like, "You're lying."
And
right
that
now.
Will be a rule change next year. I'm calling it right now.
It has to be. If I'm Samford, I'm knocking on that door saying, "Uh-uh," because that would have been a game changer right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be a rule change next year.
Yes.
Gotta feel bad for Samford in that one because they had it.
They had it. So, retribution. Kansas losing by 20.
Yes.
To Gonzaga.
Love that.
So, and Gonzaga turned up the heat in the turn. Like, they look good. They turned up the heat. Looked a lot better than what I thought they were going to. So, applause to them.
My best two games. One of them, we'll save this one for later. But San Diego State, Alabama, Birmingham. You know, a Mountain West American Conference matchup. No one saw that matchup coming. But holy cow, was it a good game.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego State did end up on top, which good for them. You know, national runners up last year.
Yeah.
They also took down Yale in the next round. But Alabama Birmingham really showed a lot of strength there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say even more strength than Florida Atlantic did against Northwestern. You know, both those two teams lost in the first round. But I will say the American was... still showed out pretty strong in those two games, which
definitely.
Is impressive. Really the best game of the first round and arguably the best game of the tournament. Florida versus Colorado is hard to argue against.
Oh, yeah.
Because that game was just high scoring, back and forth. Colorado ended up winning it with a little bit of an upset. They were in the first four. No one expected them to come this far. They won 102-100 without overtime.
Which is so whack.
That game was all offense, no defense.
Yay! Kentucky would have eaten it alive in that game.
I don't know if they would have because I didn't see Kentucky scoring like that.
That's some Alabama basketball right there.
That is Alabama level basketball. Yeah. And we'll talk about them in a second.
Yes, we will.
But holy cow, was that a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of good games the rest of the tournament, though.
No, can we talk about how the Mountain West was such a disappointment? And how we were hyping them up so hard. My dad texted me and said, I'm never trusting you again about talking about how bragging about the Mountain West. I picked all Mountain West teams and you've steered me wrong every single time.
Look, they had 3 wins in the tournament. That's not terrible. But that's not great.
Not what we were expecting. I mean, dude, we literally were on the Mountain West
hype train. They had 6 teams in the tournament.
We were on the Mountain West hype train.
Yeah. The Pac-12 had more wins in the tournament than the
Which
Mountain
West. Which is so whack, too, because in the world?
All 4 Pac-12 teams made it out of the first round.
Yeah, no, that was
and
not.
One or two of those were first 4. Just one, right?
I think just one.
Just Colorado. No, yeah. Oregon.
They were not a first 4 team.
They were not, but they were lower seeded, and
they were
still won it.
An 11, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did not have them winning, so.
No, they beat South Carolina, though. Like, the Pac-12, wild surprises. They did not make it past the Sweet 16.
No.
But they had a great first
round.
Made
it farther than I thought.
Yep.
So, go them.
I did a little bit of ranking of conferences. And so, really, I don't think we should be as surprised as we are with this.
Mm-hmm.
But ACC was the top conference out there.
Got me rolling my eyes in the back of my head right now.
In this tournament.
Yeah.
Big Ten was probably second.
To be fair, I think the Big Ten performed better than I thought they were going to.
We had 4 of the 6 teams move on to the second round.
I know.
2 of those move on to the Elite Eight, and 1 in the championship. Like, that's impressive.
A lot better than I thought they were going to do. I think if Illinois had come up against any other team, I think they would have been a Final 4 team.
Yep, if they didn't have to play UConn.
Yeah, and then get absolutely dismantled.
Same with Northwestern.
Yeah, no, literally. Those poor, like, they're in a poor area. The area up there was awful. Like, I would never, ever, like, those poor souls, I never would have wanted to be on that side. Iowa State, UConn, Illinois, like, you're joking.
Yeah, you stick all of those, and San Diego State, for that matter.
Like, you stacked that side.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And we thought BYU, but Duquesne just came out and had
they
fun.
They didn't want to keep playing, I guess.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing their coach now, too.
Right.
To Kentucky. That's a whole other story, but.
That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah. So, that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Teams overperforming. Alabama.
Yeah,
absolutely overperformed.
Alabama, Clemson.
Especially compared to the rest of the SEC,
mm-hmm.
who really, they had 8 teams in the tournament, and 5 of those didn't make it out of the first round.
Yeah. So they really carried.
Like, 4 of those 5 were higher seeds.
Yeah.
We're talking Auburn. We're talking South Carolina. We're talking Kentucky. And who was the other one that didn't make it? There was another one.
I don't remember.
I'm looking. Hold on.
I get sad looking at my brackets now.
Florida.
Really upset. Yeah, Florida.
Florida didn't make it.
I forgot about them.
Did anyone expect Texas A&M to be the one that made it out?
No.
No.
Never.
Not a chance. How about Tennessee? We all expected.
Okay. Yes.
We can give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Alabama. We kind of expected them to do pretty well, but
yeah. But
we're not going to comment on the fact that I had Charleston beating them in the first round.
I don't think I did. I think I had them losing next, though. So.
Yeah. The entire A-10 conference also completely overperformed. Duquesne and Dayton both making it to the second round.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah. Pretty awesome, you know?
I definitely will put Clemson in the overperforming category because I did not expect that matchup to be... that was an Elite Eight matchup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Elite Eight matchup to be Alabama and Clemson. That's football. We're playing basketball right now. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened, America?
We had Alabama, Clemson, Purdue, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Duke, NC State, and UConn, Illinois.
Just some of the wackest matchups.
And these were all high seeds, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Huh?
How did that happen?
But, I don't know.
Hey, man, as long as, hey, UNC lost, Arizona lost, like, I'm happy.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But, yeah, and then, Kylie, you said Purdue. on this.
I'm a hater. So
they're overperforming. I can agree. I totally agree.
Think they did overperform. And then they got to the Natty and then they completely underperformed. Everyone but Zach Edey underperformed to the max. They've never played worse.
Look, I'll be honest, I think they had a pretty easy run to the finals.
They did. Besides Tennessee.
They had to face Utah State, which we know that the Mountain West was not as good as we thought they would be. They dismantled Utah State.
Yeah.
They had to face Gonzaga. Didn't dismantle them, but...
It was a good game for a while. The end, it got away from... It got away, but like...
Exactly. They struggled against Tennessee.
Which, I mean, Tennessee was one of the top teams in the country, so...
But Tennessee had also had two tough games right before that. Mm-hmm. They played Texas and they played Creighton.
Yeah.
In close games, and Purdue hadn't had that.
Right.
You know, so Purdue had more energy.
And they had 11 seed.
NC State. You know, Purdue got the easy end of that.
They did.
And
they did.
Their 15-point loss to UConn in the national championship.
Retribution. That was great.
You know, what we expected a lot earlier in the tournament.
Yes. No, completely agree. So, yes, I personally think that they overperformed to the maximum level. But I'll go into more about Purdue later on.
Yeah, that's for later. Yes. Biggest impact players, I put down Dalton Knecht.
Well, obviously.
From Tennessee.
Here's the thing. That's my National Player of the Year.
Truly, I think he deserves it.
He didn't get it, but he deserved it.
No. He put that team together for the most part. Not from like a recruiting standpoint, but like...
On his freaking back all the time.
Yes.
Like
he was top scorer.
Drove that
every
team.
Every assist, he made all the momentum for that team.
He's a dynamic power forward. You don't get that all the time.
No, so not at all.
So, I mean...
Who can shoot threes?
Give him his flowers. Like, he earned it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I had DJ Burns for NC State. My guy. I loved watching him play.
Yeah, no kidding. The rebounding from DJ Burns in particular was just, like, on top of it every single time. Even against Purdue.
Like, this is, like... Like, if you want to show people how to rebound, watch him. Like, that ball is going to be in his hands one way or another on the boards.
Definitely.
So impressive. He honestly, just watching him, even, like, here's the thing. Watching his post-game interviews, he just seemed so happy to be there and was just loving every minute of the game. I think he literally said, he's like, I'll stop playing the game when I don't like it anymore. Like, you know, just a very, like, easy to root for person in the tournament, and when you're going up against the villains of Purdue, I mean, come on.
Well, the villains of Purdue, the villains of Duke,
you literally,
the,
like, I'm sorry,
Marquette,
they became America's team when they beat Duke, and as much as I liked
when
Duke's teams
Marquette.
This year, and they became my favorite team when they beat Marquette, like they really, like,
they
as
started,
much as I liked Duke's team this year, I was still happy they lost.
They started as enemies when they beat Oakland. But, like, they made up for it real quick.
I wish that would not have been... And that was an overtime matchup.
It was.
I wish that matchup would not have happened till later.
And Oakland had it.
They had it.
They had it. They had it. We don't have to talk about that.
Just our bleeding hearts over here for Michigan people.
Championship, Final Four, obviously.
Those are over.
Yeah. Let's talk stories. Because
my story
is long on this podcast.
My story is going to be my full court press, so you can go first.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the transfer portal and the coaching carousel, just like how quickly everything's changing.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a little bit my full court press, too.
But it's also early because the season, like, legitimately just ended.
For some of these players, they got into the transfer portal before the national championship game, before the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as soon as their team got done with the tournament, they're out of there. And I'm looking at it like this feels early, you know?
Yeah.
Feels early for some of this news.
It's
the
quick.
Coaching carousel got going, like,
immediately.
Literally before the tournament started. You know, we had coaches that were like, hey, next.
You've got, was it Dusty May going to Michigan?
Yeah, that was right after the first round.
As soon as
Florida Atlantic lost, he was like, hey, I'm going to Michigan. Actually, first he was like, hey, I'm going to Louisville. And then...
Then he saw Louisville and was like, honestly, it might be easier to rebuild Michigan.
Yes.
So,
well, I think you probably got a better offer from Michigan.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let's be honest.
They've got a, in my opinion, Michigan basketball has a stronger foundation than, or consistently stronger foundation than Louisville.
It's an easier one to rebuild, no question.
Absolutely. I mean, come on.
The way Louisville has fallen apart in the last 10 years compared to Michigan's two.
Michigan's really like only like really, really bad year. They were mid last year.
Yeah.
Like they were, they had like
they were on the edge of the tournament. Right. You know.
This year, but they'll be, I think they're going to be an interesting and scary-ish team to watch in the Big Ten, along with Ohio State, who just hired their, was he an assistant coach?
Yes.
Who was their interim when they fired their guy. They got hot at the end of the season, so they just picked up someone else. They just picked up a transfer.
Yeah. So that's all really interesting to me. Kentucky picked up BYU's coach, you know.
Arkansas picked up John Calipari,
which is, I think John Calipari picked up Arkansas, not the other way around.
That is true.
It does seem like Calipari wanted out, and Kentucky was fully content on keeping him one more year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, he's got virtually no expectations at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Absolutely none.
That is not a program that,
when you're
like,
going to Kentucky, I mean, you got high expectations. That is a best. That's a blue blood, quote unquote.
And so I think he'll be able to kind of rebuild his career around
fine job at Arkansas.
Yeah, he'll be great.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about a little bit of the transfer portal, a little bit of the NBA draft. Jared McCain from Duke going into the NBA draft as a freshman.
We're going to miss you.
Yeah.
You were so fun to watch this year. Jared McCain, if you were listening.
One of the best stories from this tournament.
Absolutely. One of
you.
The most. Here's the thing. You are the most likable guy at Duke.
You made me cheer for Duke.
Yeah. I never do that. I cheer against Duke.
What is that?
Like honestly, like, you know, and honestly, though, but a lot of guys on Duke this year, I did not, like, I wasn't a hater of them. Like, I liked them all. Like, they seemed like.
They didn't have a hateable guy.
No.
But, like, Jared McCain was a lovable guy.
Right.
And that was weird. I've never seen that at Duke.
No.
And so I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, changing our perspective a little bit. But now it's about to revert back because, you know.
Yeah.
We're Duke haters.
I don't know. As soon as they beat Stanford, I'll be okay.
That's real.
In a conference game?
That is so real.
Like, I hate that with a passion. I'm sorry. Duke versus Stanford being a conference game just
barf.
Hurts.
Dude, that's like coast to coast.
It hurts so much.
So bad.
Duke versus SMU being a conference game? What is this?
I don't even want to listen to that. I can't do it anymore.
Duke versus Boston College being a conference game?
Listen, we will spend 40 minutes complaining about conference realignment.
Yeah, that might
year.
Be a two episode
next
thing.
Season. Don't y'all worry. We'll be back.
The last one I want to mention is Indiana State was indeed robbed. They made it to the NIT finals.
And they just barely lost
lost.
They lost to Seton Hall, also robbed.
Also
of
robbed.
Being in the tournament.
Yeah, that was really tough. Just thought we should bring up the NIT real quick for that.
Yeah.
Because Indiana State, phenomenal season, should have been in that tournament.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially over Virginia. What was that?
I loved the not scoring for, like, an hour of real time.
Did you? Because it was not fun to watch.
It was hilarious. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm watching it. One of my roommates comes in, and then she, like, goes to shower, comes out and goes, they still haven't scored yet. And I said, yep. They still have not scored yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are probably not running it back next year, though, because Robbie Avila, their top player, is transferring. Their coach is moving.
Come to MSU.
Robbie Avila, if you're listening, we love you at Michigan State. We need a big guy. Mati Sissoko is in the transfer portal.
Love you. Spartan Hog for life. We'll miss you.
But,
great guy.
Yeah, Robbie Avila, please come. Please come to MSU.
Please.
We could use a big guy. Please.
Hey, I'm just happy we're active in the portal. We were talking about this before we started recording.
We were, yeah.
We're both really happy we're active in the portal.
Tom Izzo using the portal may be one of the best things to come out of this season.
Weird. And I want to shout out to all the haters who kept saying that Michigan State should not have been in the tournament. We outperformed two Big Ten teams, and we won our first game. So shut up.
Mississippi State. Come on.
We should have been in, like, we had every right to be in the tournament.
Yes.
Anyone who told me that Ohio State should have been in the tournament over Michigan State had me laughing, because that was a real argument. And I said, huh?
I believe they lost in the first round of the NIT. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't remember.
Or if if they even went to the NIT. I don't honestly remember.
So I just, you got me laughing because you don't know college basketball if you tell me that Ohio State should have been an open.
Yeah, they lost to Georgia in the NIT.
Yeah. So
they lost to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So no.
Anyways.
No, Michigan State had every right to make the tournament. Their performance, I wish it was better, but hey.
You got stuck up against a tough North Carolina team.
Right, I know. It happens. I mean, do I think North Carolina was the weakest one seed? I mean, without a doubt. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
They lost the next game, so retribution.
Yeah. Well, we just hit 1 hour, so let's go full court press.
Oh, yeah.
Let's finish it off.
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
Kylie, go for it.
Purdue lost! Yay! I have never been happier in my entire life. Never been happier to send Zach Edey pack in without a national championship win. Ha 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 ha.
On to the G League.
On to the G League. So I've never been happier. Well, he played well. I will never take anything away. He had 37 points. He had, I don't know how many, a lot of rebounds. Whatever. He played fairly well. The rest of his team, however, left that poor guy out to dry. And it was bad. Bad. Yeah. I think I was talking to someone. I think the second highest scorer was Braden Smith with 12 points.
Yeah.
I don't think Foster Lawyer made a bucket.
Nope.
Like
he made, I think, a free throw.
Hello? Like, what are y'all doing? Like, I'm sorry, like, I get it.
This is the national championship.
This is the biggest stage in college basketball. Like, y'all have been saying everyone's been saying the entire year, oh, Purdue, they're gonna win, and blah blah blah. You get there. You finally get there.
A one-man team is not going to beat a UConn.
No. You get there and
even a UConn on a down day, because that was a UConn on a down day.
Oh,
let's
UConn
be honest.
Looked not good in that game either. And still pulled out a 15-point win. Huh? Like, I'm happy, so I can't really, like, complain about anything. But it's just very satisfying to send him out of here without a national championship. So.
Yeah.
Haha. But all right, Colin, hopefully yours is not as I don't know, negative as mine, I guess.
Yeah,
but
mine is not. I'm just really excited about the mid-majors. Mm-hmm. Kind of gaining a little bit of recognition here, especially on the men's side.
Yeah.
You know, especially in a tournament year like this one, where the bracket really didn't have a lot of upsets or a lot of crazy stuff that happened, you know, seeing the A-10 outperform some of the best teams in the SEC and
crazy.
The Big 12, seeing the A-10 and the Horizon League, you know, Oakland.
Let's go Horizon League.
Seeing all these teams play really well and have these big players that turn into, you know, they transfer to the higher schools the next year. A lot of them have already entered the transfer portal. The coaches go on moving up in the world.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool the way the NCAA tournament's structured, how we still get all of these mid-majors and they get some respect when they win, because they do win.
Yeah.
And you get the best storylines out of them. You get the best players out of them. You know, you really, truly, there's something special about it that we don't get in football, that we don't get in hockey, that we don't get in the pro sports. There's something cool about having all the small teams in it.
Oh, yeah. And then hopefully with a tournament expansion, we'll get more of them.
If there's a tournament expansion, I don't think they will. I think they're going for more Power 5.
For what?
Exactly.
More lame? More lame.
Well, there would probably be more mid-major upsets, let's be honest.
True. But I would love to see some of these mid-major conferences become two-bid conferences.
Yes. You know, give me two bids. Heck, three bids in the A-10 this year probably would have been fine with Loyola Chicago's performance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they won the A-10 regular season, tied with Dayton. Dayton made the tournament. Duquesne won the A-10 bracket and then went out and beat BYU. You know, just all the unexpectedness there.
Yeah, I mean, you see, like, both Drake and Indiana State should have been in the tournament this
year. And they both proved that. You know, Drake played a great game. They didn't win, but they played a great game.
They could have won.
They could have won.
They should have won.
refing on that one too, but
yeah, bad. All bad.
But you know, you get all of these things. I just really love that, and mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot more positive than yours, Kylie.
Yeah, but
not that
you
it's
know,
competition, but
I'm just positively a hater. Like, come on.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm not. I dislike Zach Edey and Purdue kind of gal. But I think.
But you don't have to. Last episode you have to talk about
Kylie.
I know.
I don't know who they're retaining, but it doesn't matter anymore because it's not Zach Edey.
Yeah. And that's for next fall.
Yeah. That's for us to talk about in like 4 or 5 months, Colin.
It's crazy.
I know.
Well.
Guys.
Shall we close it out?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode of Check the Net on Impact 89 FM. Let us know what you think by connecting with the station on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WDBM and at Impact 89 FM. I just want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you to all of our listeners mm-hmm. for sticking with us all season.
Yeah, we like to talk, so thank you.
It's chaos over here. It's a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and we cannot wait to talk about it more next season.
Next season!
On Check the Net. Thank you guys all.
See y'all.